Welcome to Songwriter Trysts, an intimate podcast that interviews artists about the art of songwriting and find out more about the life behind the songs. I'm singer-songwriter Ray Lee and your host for this show. Music saved my life, and I want to talk to other songwriters about the power of songwriting, talk about their journey and how they got to where they are today. This is a safe space to share stories, lessons, and emotions, all the great things that build an amazing song. If you'd like to support the podcast or get to know any of the guests, you can find us on songwritertrysts.com. Welcome to another Songwriter Tryst with Alicia Todd from the project Genie Boy. How are you doing?
Hello, good. So happy.
Good. Thank you so much for coming on here and sharing a little bit more with us about your music. I'm keen to find out a little bit more about you and how it all started. I get everyone to start in their own words. Can you tell me who are you and where do you come from?
So I'm Alicia. I am based on the Gold Coast in Queensland, in Currumbin, but I grew up in Gympie, so I'm a country girl.
Yep.
But I, yeah, definitely my soul is from the mountains. Yeah.
So when did you write your first song? Like what brought that around?
So I think music for me was like a healing. I grew up in a bit of a tumultuous household and playing guitar and singing and writing and learning songs was how I shut all of that out. So I just sat in my room and that would be how I healed my soul a bit. And that just turned into career as well. So yeah, I guess my first songs were written back then.
Yeah. So what happened with you? Like, you don't have to go into detail about what was healing, because music is very healing and I completely understand that's exactly how I got into it as well. It's just in the house. What was it that you think, or do you remember the moment that you saw an instrument and you said, you just pulled on your heartstrings and said, I need that?
Yeah, I do actually. It was quickly followed by, oh, that sounds horrible.
Yeah, that's standard.
My brother played guitar and he played music in a punk band in high school. He doesn't play music as a career anymore. He takes photos and is a videographer.
But still creative though.
He's still creative, yeah. And so back in those days when we lived in separate households, so he lived with my dad and I visited and saw this guitar on the ground and I was, oh, that's so beautiful. And I just strummed the open strings and it just sounds horrible when you strum that. To me, oh, what are all those notes clanging together? So that was at least the start of, I like this, but this is going to take some effort. And then later on, when I was a teenager, I picked up a guitar. But singing was definitely what came first, and writing words. Yep. I used to do that just on the old computer Yes.
I had the worst experience. I thought it was the best spell check because I was a terrible speller. I was dyslexic. I still am. Yeah. That doesn't really change. But I remember writing stories and just picking the first word that would come up in spell check, just assuming that the first one was going to be the correct word I was after, and the amount of times that I shared that and it was definitely the wrong word. It was so embarrassing. It's just what you do. How great are computers? I was like writing my biography at 8. It didn't take long.
So great. So much to say at 8.
Yeah. Oh, I thought there was. And there probably was. It's probably where music came in for me as well. But I don't know. It's a challenging thing. But at the same time, when you don't have the words, sometimes music fills the gaps. It has that feeling behind it when you don't necessarily know what the feeling is in vocabulary. Was there a clear moment when you decided that this was going to be something that you actually did as a career though?
I think, so I've been singing so long all through my childhood and my mum always told me not to pursue music as a career because she
Thanks,
was,
Mom.
I know, wonderful.
True rebellious, Kyle, yeah.
And I do think it actually came about through rebellion. Just like, don't tell me what to do. I can do this. And it is tough. It's a tough career. You have to be chasing it the whole time. But I think that's like any entrepreneur and their business. You have to be on it all the time. She wanted me to be a doctor and I just was not meant for that.
You know, I wanted to be a doctor and I told that to my mum because I was the fourth child of six kids. And she was, and like none of them are academic. I'm not an academic family. And she's, you can try. I don't really think you're going to do it, so don't be disappointed if you don't get there. Kind of. I was so angry that I actually went and did my biomedical science degree and proved that I could. I proved that I could. And then once I realized I could, I was like, yeah, but I don't know if I want to.
I changed my mind now.
Yeah, I know. I think I'm an artist. I'm going to go do like that. And she was like, oh, but you're so close. It's like, yeah, the things that we do to prove people wrong is
I know, yeah. To prove to yourself as well. You're like, no, yeah. It's important, yeah. I think.
Absolutely. It's just funny that you mentioned that though, because I was like, I did that because my mum didn't think I could. Do you think you could have done medicine if that was, were you an academic child? Or
I am academic and I love studying. However, my memory is really bad. So I think that would not do very well with remembering every part of the body and every medical term.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to have a certain level of interest as well in that sort of stuff to actually memorize it. So where did the music career start? Like, when did you start taking it seriously? Did you have a band and what's your goals?
Yeah. So when I was in high school, I went to a particular high school because they had an extracurricular activity that was music. So I studied so many subjects of music in school and then had this extracurricular outside of school as well. And that's where they put us into bands and they took us around to Tamworth Music Festival and the Gympie Muster and stuff like that to play on stages and go in competitions.
Who knew time would pick up speed as the days fly by making you still? Don't know what to do, confused by all the things we didn't want to do, yeah. This small town swallowed you whole. How could someone like you feel small? I remember you being so damn tall, even though I don't remember much at all. I feel like something's missing. I feel like I got carried away too soon. I feel like something's missing. I feel like I still carry a piece of me. Only you would notice, 'cause you see me that way. Baby, I've changed, don't play the fool. Only fools play. You would notice if I saw you that way. Baby, you'd change. Only fools play. Fools play fools.
And that's where it started, 'cause that's where it became real.
Yep. What was that experience like for you, though? Your first time up on stage and sharing your music and
being so young. It's amazing. Yeah, it's so scary, but also really beautiful to be heard as well as a child, I think, or as a teenager.
Mm.
Wow, okay, someone's taking me a little bit seriously now. They're giving me a chance to do what I love to do on the stage.
Yeah.
I think that's really important for teenagers, for everyone, but just...
Yeah. Absolutely. So how did you go from high school to where you are now? What's been your journey there?
Yeah, so in high school, one of those teachers in the program, he studied music down in Lismore.
Oh, yeah.
And from that, I just had this desire to really get out of Gympie and I thought I didn't know where else to go. So I just thought, oh, I'm going to go do what he did because that sounded fun. So I followed his path for a second and went down to Lismore and studied the music degree down there. I didn't finish it at the time. My mum passed away early in the degree and that kind of, that made me fall off the wagon a little bit. And then after a few years of like a slow decline in grades and concentration, I just sold everything that I owned and I decided to go overseas and just went overseas to find bits of my soul as well.
Wow.
I guess a lot of my identity was entangled with my mum and trying to be good enough for her and be, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Live up to her standards, and I didn't quite have my own standards.
And that's such an important thing to have.
It really is. Yep.
It's a journey to everyone. Yeah. To be worthy of anyone and to seek approval from anyone is such a common thing that we all have as human beings, and yet the only person that we need to think is worthy of ourselves and our love and attention is ourselves.
Yep.
Such a common thing that we all need to be reminded of daily.
Yeah.
You only have to be good enough for yourself.
That's it.
And then no one else matters really when it comes to your self-worth.
Yeah.
It comes from within. So what happened? Where'd you go?
So I went over to Europe. I went to, first of all, I just traveled for 6 months. I spent loads of money. Spend it all. I went for nearly 4 years, but I didn't plan to be gone for that long. I went over and I had, anticipating that something might happen, I got an English visa, the working visa. So I spent 6 months traveling, spent all my money and decided, okay, I'm going to go to England and live out this visa and get a job and see what it's like. So I went there and I had no intentions to do music at the start. I just wanted to live and see where that took me. But the music in England is incredible, and Europe is incredible. So I spent maybe another year and a half there just soaking it all up, all the different genres, different cultures. And then after that, I had bought a venue.
Did you play over there?
I did play a little bit, in England I did. Some festivals as well. Had a band that I played in.
That's the dream, I reckon. Have a band in the UK. So you got a van, yeah?
So I got a van and then I built a little house in the back and then I did a volunteering stint in Greece it was the time where the refugees were coming over from Syria into Greece. That was maybe 4 years ago or 5 years ago or something.
Oh.
And that was a big kind of migration.
How did you get into that?
I had lots of friends over in England who were really into that kind of scene, into volunteering and helping out. And so we collected a whole bunch of donations from all around Bristol and drove them to Greece, spent like a month there. And then after Greece, I went to Ibiza, which was very unplanned. And then I lived there for a year and a half. And that's where I proper was playing music, just music, full time for the first time in my life.
Really? Nice. What type of stuff were you doing in Ibiza?
So I had another little trio that I joined, and that was like a bit gypsy kind of music.
Yeah.
I guess you would call it. The lady who, actually, I wasn't the lead singer of that. I just played guitar and did harmonies.
Yeah, nice.
She spoke like 10 different languages. So for me, all these songs from everywhere.
Yeah, which you probably need over there anyway.
You do.
So many different languages.
Definitely. Yeah. Ibiza is such a central kind of holiday destination for people all over the world.
Yeah. So true. Yeah. Yes, my husband's from Cornwall and he talks about his trips over there, Spain, Ibiza, everywhere. It sounds like an amazing place to grow up and have Europe at your doorstep. I'm just going to go on a summer holiday to Paris. It's not something that we can see being in Australia.
It is a shock coming back to Australia after that, actually.
Yeah.
I was talking with my friend the other day and I couldn't really put my finger on it, but I just felt like when I came back to Australia, my life became quite boring in comparison to what it was overseas. And there's probably a few things that result in that. Like when you come home, you become your old home self as well.
Yeah.
It's like you don't really explore your city as much as you would explore a foreign city. But also
touristy thing.
Yeah, exactly. But also the culture and the aliveness, that's all, it's so vibrant overseas. Music is everywhere. Music is everywhere here. In a way, maybe just not in such a creative way as it is overseas.
Yeah, I had that culture shock coming back from Nashville 2 years ago and getting here and I'm like, I'm going out to do music and I'm like, where is it all? I'm walking into a pub and they're like, we haven't done open mics in 6 months. I'm just like, okay. Like maybe you should change that on your website. I don't know. Like I agree. Like I'm definitely actively trying to create more of a music hub in the Gold Coast. Okay, so when people do hear your music, what do you hope people to hear, or what's the message or feeling that you want people to get out of your music? What's the environment that you want to create?
So with Genie Boy, I think I'd love to just make music that people can dance to and feel joyous to. But there are some songs on the EP that we've recorded. The EP's not released yet, but it's coming. And they are inspired by some of these a bit deeper messages, like a refugee crisis and stuff like that. But we still try and make it groovy, but maybe the lyrics have a deeper meaning behind them.
Yeah, I like that sort of stuff. You can still have fun to it, but the people who are open and listening can hear the message, and not everyone's going to be ready for a deep message all the time.
Yeah.
That's really hide cool. that. Yeah, exactly. Just hide it behind the fun of music. That's what art does, I reckon. All art is, there's always something deeper if you're looking for it, but if you're not looking for it, you can just enjoy it for whatever you want it to be.
Yeah, that's it.
It can be whatever you want it to be.
I really like the idea of not telling people what the message of the songs are about. I'm pretty used to doing that, actually. I just naturally say, this is what this song's about. But yeah. I really like the idea of going forward and just going, you choose what this song is about.
Yeah, I like that too. That's been a new thing for me as well. You have a song and then someone's, this reminds me of my brother who died last year. And you're like, oh, that's not what the song's about.
Yeah.
You can't correct someone. It's like they've connected to it on their own personal level. That's just amazing. It doesn't matter what they think the song's about. It is whatever it is once it's out there. And yeah, I think it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah,
but I think that's a part of growing as a songwriter and an artist as well, though. Like, recognizing that music can do so much more than necessarily what you think it's going to do initially.
Yeah. Mm. More than just a personal level, becomes everyone's property.
Yeah, it's its own, develops its own personality and its own connection, and it's separate from you. Whereas when it's written, for me, I think sometimes when it's written, it feels like it's connected to me. And then once it's released, it's like giving birth to a child. You have no control over that child once it's out.
That's it.
You can do whatever it wants to do.
As much as you try.
Yes, you can try and control it, but it's going to have a life of its own. Okay, so have you done much collaboration or co-writing before?
I've done a little bit. There was a session last year, I think, now.
Yeah.
Must have been late last year. It was an APRA Song Hubs workshop. Mm-hmm. And they had one on the Gold Coast here, so I was invited along to that, and I wrote some songs so I'll just explain what it is for people listening. It's 4 days of intensive songwriting with people you've never met before. So you go in and you might be put in a group of 3 or 4 people, and each person in the group is allocated like a title of producer, top liner, artist, and then maybe just the 3, or maybe there might be also songwriter as well.
It sounds amazing.
It was really great. It was really, it challenges you because you have one day to record a song, to write a song and record a song. Yeah. So everyone in the group is really tested, especially the producers, because usually they have to come with a computer and they don't usually write on a computer. They have their big old studios. So it was great. And because of COVID, there was an extra hurdle that a lot of the people couldn't be there in person. So we got to learn how to do it through the computer, like we're doing now with this podcast.
Yeah.
And so I got to write with a lady called Caitlin from Nashville.
Yeah.
She's amazing. And I think she wrote one of Miley Cyrus's songs recently.
Oh, winning.
It's crazy to just be put in a room with these people and you're all on the same level all of a sudden. You're just throwing ideas at a wall until something sticks. And that's what I got out of it. That's what I got out of group songwriting, was that there's no bad ideas. They're just ideas. And don't think about it. Just let it flow out until someone else goes, yeah, I like that. And then you keep that.
Mm.
And then it just keeps going round and round in circles until you've finished the song.
Yeah. Until you feel it's done. It's said what it needs to say.
Yeah, I love that process of feeding back off each other and not feeling hurt by someone not liking that one idea that you had.
Yeah.
Makes you really, like, it's objectified then. It's not too personal.
Yeah. I think I like when we do songwriting nights, or when I do, we have these rules, and one of them is a no-no rule, which we got from Pat Patterson. And you should be saying everything that comes into your head. That's the goal. And it's going to sound really stupid sometimes. You don't say no to someone. You just say, all right, let's keep going. Let's find something better. Or what else can we come up with? You just keep going. And then someone's going to say something where everyone goes, oh, yeah, like you said, what sticks? And then
yep.
What is the best advice that you have ever been given?
Mind blank.
That's okay. That's all right. Is there like a motto that you live your life by?
There is something that a friend of mine that we do before a show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really great thing because it keeps your mind in a state of gratitude for everything that comes your way, even if it's not really what you planned on or it's not to the standard that you wanted to do something.
Mm.
And it's just saying to yourself, I get to. We go on stage, we go somewhere on tour and it's okay, I get to do this. I get to do this for a living. This is what, look around, look at all these people that I'm with. I get to do this. And for me, saying that everywhere I go has made such a difference to my mentality.
Yeah, gratitude and appreciation. That's amazing. I like that. I haven't heard that one before. I get it. I like hearing new things. Yeah, that's beautiful. All right. If you could go back in time and maybe speak to yourself when you were younger, in Gympie, in your bedroom, playing guitar or writing down something on your computer, what do you think, if you could give yourself one little piece of advice, what would you say?
Just enjoy it. Find the joy.
Mm.
Keep doing it for you.
It's beautiful. Just keep doing it. Yeah, enjoy it. Don't stress.
But that's it. Because as you get older, things become a bit more serious. It's more tied with money and trying to make a living, which is the reality of everything. And when you're a kid, it's just fun. And I think that's what we continue to seek as adults, is the fun in it.
Mm.
Why did I do this in the first place? We're always going back to that, like, why?
It should be fun for children. It's not always, unfortunately, but every child deserves to be loved and protected. And if they are loved and protected, then they're enabled to just have fun and learn. And that is the most optimal environment for children to learn. So do you have children or?
No, I don't have children. I have lots of nieces and a nephew.
Nice.
Two nephews.
Oh, perfect. So you're the cool auntie.
I'm the auntie,
Yeah, you're a cool auntie that gets to play music and show them how to do stuff. I have three children and I think I've gone back to, because I didn't have a great childhood either, which you talked about earlier, but I get to relive that childlike moments with my kids, like going to the park and jumping on the trampoline crafting and colouring, like those things that I wouldn't probably do if I didn't have children.
Yeah.
But then I didn't get to do it when I was a kid either. And so it's, as much as I didn't want children, it wasn't a part of my mentality, because I think if you're someone like me who had a horrible childhood, you don't want to bring another child into the world to experience what you experienced. But having kids and providing a safe space for them to grow up then has also provided a healing space for me to relive what I missed out on as a kid. Yeah. And there's healing in that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But music is also an amazing gift. And I'm really glad that you had that and that you're doing it, because I think a lot of people have the music gift but don't share it. Like, I didn't share it for a really long time. And gifts are meant to be shared. It's especially art and music. I think it's amazing when people are actually out there sharing their gifts with other people. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
All right, this is a question around your inspirations. If you could co-write with anyone in the world, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
I think I really love Matt Corby and his music.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even just, he's pretty close. He's Australian.
Nice.
Yeah, I think I'd love to. I'm sure if I had more time to think, I would say someone else for sure. But
standard.
Yeah, but
should send out the questions beforehand, hey? We've really prepared. I like getting the honest, like the answers. Like, I could ask you the same question tomorrow and you'd probably have a completely different answer, but I think the one that comes up intuitively is the best one.
Yeah, I just love his new, like the two albums he's put out. they're just so cohesive and they're so relaxed and they're not trying to prove anything. They're not trying to be anything.
Mm.
And I just love that. I love the layerings. I love the movements. I love the textures. And actually I heard that from, who did I hear this from? I think it was from someone from Gyro Stream actually. But
oh, yeah.
He showed the album. This might be a rumor. I don't know. But he showed the album to someone to get advice from them, and they said, oh, these songs are the hits, like they're going to be hits.
Yep.
And he took those off the album.
Oh, why?
Because he doesn't want them to be a hit. I love that kind of mentality. It's like really not going for superstardom. Like we don't want to burn out. We just want to make nice music.
That's so
funny. It's bizarre. Right. It's so bizarre. But if you look at Matt Corby and his online presence or lack thereof, like it totally makes sense. And it's such a beautiful existence, I think, as an artist, to not be stuck, like caught up in that world of the social internet.
Yeah, it's like a weird essential part of being an artist. Like, yeah, to be, especially if you're in that, like we talked about earlier, being in between the superstardom or doing cover gigs. You're in between, you need awareness and discovery, and you can't get that without those social mediums, those necessary evils. I'm sure there are some people that are still trying to do that. And I know people who are only releasing CDs still and not online. They don't put their music on Spotify and Apple and places like that. If you want to hear their music, you still have to buy the CD, which means you still have to have a CD player.
Yeah.
But it's, everyone has their own methods and their own madness that they've got to follow. And I'm a big believer that everything happens at the right time for the right reasons. And if you mess up, there'll be something you've got to learn from that. Like,
yeah.
Everything is, for me, I try to take everything as a lesson.
Yeah, it's a great way to look at life.
Yeah, I think it's a way of being positive, I guess. Like I get to make this mistake and I get to be embarrassed and I get to make a fool of myself all the time. But it's like when you do that, you grow and you become stronger and, yeah, it's such an important thing.
Yeah.
All right, so what have you got coming out? Like this year, what are your plans for 2021?
So for Genie Boy, we just released that one single, Fool's Play, and now we have one more single or two more singles coming out, probably in May is going to be the next single. It's called Bruises. And, yes.
Cool. And you got shows or anything? You're going to be, like, you performing live on a regular basis or?
So in May we have a festival called Jungle Love. Which is on the Sunshine Coast, and I'm pretty sure it's sold out already.
Oh, wow.
It's a good lineup. The Hiatus Coyote's on, and Winston Surf Shirt, and a whole bunch of other wonderful local Queensland acts.
Yeah, nice. I love how they're doing Queensland-focused festivals at the moment.
Yeah, me too.
Like, or just even just Australian, like all Australian. Yes, let's support our local artists. This is great.
Totally. It's great for the planet and great for local music.
It's great for us, yeah.
Yeah,
it's good. That's all right, you go.
Just going to finish that. So we've got a few more singles and then we're going to release the EP mid-year.
Yep. And that's mid-year?
Genie Boy plan, yeah.
Cool, Genie Boy. And where's Genie Boy want to go? What's like the goal for that project?
It would be great to tour. For at the moment, because we're brand new as a project, it would be so great just to tour. That's my plan. That's my goal.
Yep, open to more festivals and shows and support acts and things like that. Yeah, brilliant. I really hope that works out for you and your music is really well received and just getting the word out there about what you're doing and having fun, making people dance and be happy and doing what you love. You get to do what you love, but you're also in control of that and you're working hard towards that. And, yeah, I know some people can make it look easy. And some people think it's a really easy job, but it's not. It's a very hard, emotionally and physically taxing thing to do. And so you should be very proud of yourself for choosing that because it's very integral, I think. Well done. Cool. We've finished up. Is there anything else you would like to say? I'm going to put all your links and everything in the on the website. There'll be a blog specifically for this podcast. And there'll also be a description in all of the podcasting apps where it goes with links to your socials, your music, everything, so that people can follow you and support you and check you out. Is there anything else you would like to share or say?
I think that's it. Just go forth, shine, be happy, make people happy around you, do your thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Well, thank you so much for being part of it. Thank you for listening to Alicia's Todd featured episode on songwriter Triss talking about her project Genie Boy. Thank you so much for your support. And if you'd like to follow her or find out more about her, please check out the website, www.songwritertriss.com. There you will also find ways that you can support the podcast and keep in touch with what we're doing.